Romans chapter 12. Let's begin with verse 1. We'll just read verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's pray first. Lord, I pray that you help us to study your holy word tonight as we move on from chapter to chapter and verse by verse. Help us, Lord God, to use the things that we hear and the things that we learn in practice. But Lord, help us first to understand doctrine, and that we may be not tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, for that is false doctrine. Help us to be grounded in your holy word. Help us to be strengthened in your holy word, that our faith may grow thereby. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. It's been a good day. I'll be in a hurry tonight. I know the ladies didn't get a chance to go home because they had a meeting in preparation. You must be tired. I had a power nap. I had the luxury of having a power nap, so I will try to hurry. Romans chapter 12. Before I begin the verse by verse exposition, let me give you first the outline of the book of Romans. I know my brother's going through the book of Galatians, but the Bible has a built-in outline. It has a built-in outline. It also has a built-in dictionary. If you learn how to use it, most preachers don't really preach it, don't really understand how it works, but it's actually quite not only impressive, but it's always mesmerizing when you begin to understand that the Bible has built-in outlines and built-in dictionaries. A dictionary that you can do a word study without going outside of the Bible. So I'm going to show you today the outline of the book of Romans. We finished Romans chapter 1 through chapter 12. So as we study the book of Romans, go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 first. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And somebody could open up to that verse and just read it for me, please. Romans 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16.
All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, or instruction in righteousness.
So according to that verse, the first application of Scripture, whether you're studying it or you're preaching from the Bible, or you're trying to understand, you're studying upon the Bible, the first application of Scripture is doctrinal. Okay. And that's what we saw in Romans chapter 1 through 11, we get to some pretty heavy chapters, some pretty heavy verses that we had to explain carefully, and there were some questions that were raised, especially when we were in chapter 7 and chapter 8 of the book of Romans, when we get to the topic of predestination and things like that, and the election of the Israelites. So very doctrinal. And that's because in the book of Romans, and most of the writings of the Apostle Paul, he first dives in through the doctrinal applications or the doctrinal teachings. And so that's what you have here in Romans chapter 1 through 11 is a doctrinal section of the book of Romans. Now, as we begin chapter 12, chapters 12 through 16 are practical chapters. Practical teachings from the Bible. Okay, keep that in mind, because as you'll see as we go verse by verse, as we go through this week after week, maybe month after month, The focus of the beginning of chapter 12 is practical teaching. So no longer doctrine, but instead is practical teaching. Okay? There's a Dr. John MacArthur, he's known for a saying that I totally agree with. He would often hear him say that orthodoxy precedes orthopraxy. And that's like a complicated term. Orthodoxy means proper doctrine before you can have proper practice. And without proper doctrine, you cannot practice as a Christian. You will not know how to properly practice the Christian life. I know my brother is going through a series of lessons on marriages and divorces and things like that. Right? Well, if you don't go to the Bible, in practice, in real life, you may not know how to practice in real life as a Christian. What is the proper practice for a Christian? Well, first you have to know the doctrine. I've gone through this very extensively when I was in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 about the issue of marriage and remarriages and divorces and things like that. The first application of that by means of illustration is actually, it has everything to do with the relationship between God and the nation of Israel. And you'll find that in the book of Hosea. But in practice, as Christians, then you have the practical application, the teaching of marriage and divorce. And in the book of Romans, the pattern is the same. You understand doctrine first, which hopefully you have, from chapters 1 through 11. And now we're going to get into the practical teaching about the Christian life in chapter 12. So chapter 12, let's begin. But Paul says, I beseech you, that word beseech is, I've explained that before when we were last, that was last Sunday night, as a matter of fact. I beseech you, therefore, is one of the distinguishing words that separate a pure Bible from a Bible that is corrupted, is the use of that word beseech in modern versions of the Bible. That word has been replaced to urge, but beseech is a word that was... That they came up with that clearly points out to a very specific, it's more than just urging. It's to beseech someone is to seek them, to seek their face, to seek their attention, to seek their heart. And then if you continue, I beseech you therefore, brethren, he's talking to Christians in Rome. And it says, by the mercies of God, we talked about the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And that is the reasonable service of a Christian. Okay? The reasonable service of a Christian is what we do to our bodies. And 1 Corinthians, Paul said, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So what you do to your body, you are doing to the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that's a great principle to know as a Christian, because not only should we not eat right, but we are supposed to take care of our body, right? For 1 Corinthians chapter 7 says that towards the end. That is our service to God. Our service to God is to take care of this temple, right? In the Bible, also says that, I think somewhere in Jude, let me find it for you. One of the prayers is for the Christian not only to be, is that Jude? Not only to be prosperous, maybe it's 1 John, not only to be prosperous, oh, I'm sorry, 3 John. It's in 3 John. Take a look at 3 John. The third epistle of John, right before Jude. John wrote, he says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in what? Be in health. Be in health even as thy soul prospereth. Now, why would he say that? Why would he say that you, as a Christian, you're supposed to be healthy? Or at least take care, of your health, because your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. That is your reasonable service. And look at verse 2 now. Verse 2 is where we're trying to get at. We've already covered verse 1. Verse 2, he says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. I want you to notice a parallelism.
He says, to be not conformed, but be ye, what does that say? Transformed. There it goes through parallelism. One, two, three. One, two, three. Be not conformed, but be ye transformed.
Now let's first take a look at what is a form. 2 Timothy 3:5 says they have the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. A form is an outward identification of something. Okay? In Genesis chapter 2, go to Genesis chapter 2 with me. How do you know what something is? By what they look, by the form, by the shape of what they look on the outside, right? Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Somebody attempt that verse, please.
A form is the outward appearance or manifestation of the creature.
Genesis 2:7. Somebody there? Okay, notice the Lord God did what? Form. Okay? Apart from the breathing of the life into Adam, which made Adam a living soul, God formed Adam. Okay, that means the shape of Adam, two arms, two legs, five fingers, 10 fingers, 10 toes, one nose, two ears. That's the form of Adam that was designed by God. It was designed by God. And the woman was the same way. You know, God took some clay, some soil, and took the rib from Adam, and voila, you have the woman. But the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Prophetically, there's a prophetical application of that. I go to Isaiah chapter 52, verse 14. Isaiah chapter 52, verse 14. If you follow that study of forms, how many of you remember in Daniel when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the furnace? And then the people that threw them into the furnace, what did they see? What did they see? How many of you remember? Said, I see a fourth person. And his form is like that of the Son of God. Right? Well, how does he know that? What the Son of God looked like? It's prophetical. It was in the book of Daniel, it's prophetically telling us that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was going to become a man, the form of a man. In fact, the Bible says he took upon the form of a man, right? Go to Isaiah now, 52, verse 14. He took upon the form of a man. The only problem is, you know what happened to the Messiah? Isaiah 52:14. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of man. And The prophetical application, once again, is that what's going to happen to Jesus Christ at the crucifixion. Actually, even before the crucifixion, the Bible says that his visage was so marred that you would not be able to identify him as a man. That's how much they punished him. They slashed him, they lashed him, they put a crown of thorns on him, that when if you were to look at him, it just looks like a pulp. He just looked like a pulp, swollen. You know, when your body gets when you go through a trauma, maybe some of you have, I've seen some, a victim of domestic violence one time. We responded to a call. We were behind the wall. The house was barricaded with a pretty high fence. Three teenagers, one of them was a special child. So he couldn't really explain what was going on. But when the wife came out of the house, the husband refused to come out because we had our guns drawn, pointing at them, ordering them to come out. He wouldn't come out. So eventually, I climbed over the fence. My partner climbed over. We all started climbing over the fence. And finally, the wife came out, and the wife did not want us to shoot the husband. I tell you, this woman had a lump. She looked like an alien. She had a big lump right here. Her jaw was another lump right here. She had a black eye on the left eye. I think it was the right side. But, you know, she had this big thing growing out of the top of his head, like a tumor. Her jaw was dislocated. Her jaw shifted to the left, and there was a big ball of flesh, of swelling underneath her jaw. With a block, and here she is saying, don't shoot him, don't shoot him, don't kill him, don't kill him. I love him. And she said, I love him. I would give up my life for him. we almost shot her too, because she was the first one that came out. But you know, if you have ever seen somebody who's been beat up so bad, that's what happens to our body, the human flesh. It will swell up. It will turn red and bluish. So every time I think of what Jesus Christ went through with a beating on his way to Calvary, and you know, the movies, Hollywood portrays him as this, you know, he's cut up with some blood on the back, some scratches on the back, and he still looks like a human being. I don't think that's what he looked like when he was crucified. I think when he was crucified, you would not be able to identify a man. You know? Just imagine him carrying that cross and then people just, you know, with a stud foot. They call it drive-bys. You know? When somebody's getting dragged to get lynched. Somebody who's just a spectator, not even a participant of the lynching, would just... and then walk away, pretend that nothing happens. It's called a drive-by. Drive-by kicking. I guarantee that's what Jesus Christ went through. But the form of a man, he took upon the form of a man and became flesh and died for us.
Amen.
Amen. Now in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, now he says, be not conformed. Okay? The outward appearance then of a Christian, he says, be not con. The word con is with. It means with. Okay? So it says, be not on your outward appearance. Do not look like, what does that say? Be not conformed to this world. This is him speaking to the Christian. He's saying that a Christian should not look like, on the outward appearance, just like the world. Right? So that when a person looks at you, they should be able to identify that your outward appearance, you don't look like everybody else. Okay, as a Christian, be not with the form of the world. Go to Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Here's another, only one verse in the Bible where you'll find the word conform besides this text. Romans 8, 29. Romans 8, 29 is the only other verse that uses this word conform throughout the entire Bible. Romans 8, 29. And notice what it says. It says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. In other words, the Christian is not to look like the world, but he's supposed to look like the Son of God.
That's
a hard saying, especially after the illustration I just made about the beatings, right? Did you know that there are many Christians in the world that actually go through that? Yeah. I can name you a few. I have a class for my ministry, for my doctorate in ministry. It's called Martyrs, Christian Martyrs Throughout the Centuries. And it entails the life of people who have given up their lives because they were Christians. It can be pretty graphic. I lend you the book once I finish reading it. It can be pretty graphic. It talks about the sufferings of Christians in other countries, in the countries that are close, or that used to be close, such as the Asian countries, the Middle Eastern countries, and the things that a Christian go through, a real Christian would go through, who is boldly witnessing. They would get beat up. What does the Bible say? What did Paul say? He was beat up thrice. He suffered shipwreck, right? And so on and so forth. But the confirmation of the Christian, what we are supposed to look like on the outward, is not like the world. But notice he says, be ye transformed. The reason why it's called transformed, the word trans is to be the opposite of. The opposite of. So if con means with, trans means the opposite of. The opposite. Or the contrary. Okay? He says, but be ye transformed. Do not look like the world. In fact, look exactly opposite of the world. Paul is saying here. As a Christian, not only are you not supposed to look like the world, you're also supposed to look exactly the opposite of how the world looks. Amen?
Yeah.
And as far as the details on that, like I told you, I don't get into the details of what to wear and what, because that's up to your conviction. Okay, but the principle is there that a Christian is not supposed to look like the world. In fact, he's supposed to look like the exact opposite of the world. Okay, so whatever the world does, you don't copy that. You copy the exact opposite of that. I saw a posting by a fellow pastor. He said, decency and modesty is not unfashionable. So the argument is, well, I don't want to be like that because it's not fashionable to be decent. Oh, I guarantee you, a lot of you ladies know how to be fashionable and still look decent, like you do today, right? Oftentimes, the confusion is, oh, I can't look fashionable and be decent at the same time. Oh, yes, you can. Yes, you can. For me, actually, to me, it's more attractive and it's more beautiful and it's more fashionable to look decent.
Right.
It is. It's for me, it's a turn off. You quick way to turn me off is when you're trying so hard to look like something that you're not. right? Not going to get into the details because I don't want to get in trouble, right? But the principle is there. Okay, don't look like the world. Look exactly the opposite of the world. Look like Jesus Christ. Remember, he writes about in Timothy, when it comes to simplicity, which is in Christ Jesus, just be simple. Simple is beautiful, right? You don't need when he wrote to the women, he says you don't need the adornment of all these things to make yourself beautiful. The fact that God made you a woman, right? You're already beautiful. And the same thing with men. With men, we have to be decent, right? There was a time I've lived my life. Let me just say it this way. I've lived my life. I've gone through the stage. My generation, it was the hip-hop generation, right? How many of you remember that time, the hip-hop generation? You lived during that time? During the hip-hop generation, the waistline of the boys, it doesn't go on the waist, it goes on the knees. And so that's how I walked in, The pants laying down right here. Walking like, you're so cool, and the pants are so baggy that, like when you walk, you're mopping the floor at the same time. Like you're an unpaid janitor because you're sweeping the floor as you walk. Well, it's no different from the bell-bottom generations, amen? Yeah, the bell-bottom generations back in, the 60s, right? The hippie culture, you wear those bell-bottoms and... Ain't nothing like a hot dog. Elvis Presley's time, and he made it famous with the top collar, and everybody, that was the fad. It's the fad. And people, even Christians, dressed like that, and because that's what, the Greece culture was the same way. Remember the Greece culture? I was there. No, I wasn't. I was there. when the hair had to be all... for the guys, it had to be they used pomade and brush up on one side, and the other one brush up on the other. And the ladies all had their puffy hair, and they walk around like that, and they shake their head, and then the hair bounces. And even when you come to church, it's the same, because that was the fad, right? And that's just the fashion of the world. But I think if you're trying so hard to look like that, now, if you really look like that, then that's fine, right? But if you're trying so hard to look like that, one of the things that bothers me, the skinny jeans, right? I don't know. Skinny jeans for guys really bothers me. I mean, when I see a guy wearing really skinny jeans and they look like their pajamas, or they look like their thermal shirts, it makes me wonder, why are you wearing a thermal shirt? A thermal pants? And you can see... You can see the crease, and you can see the shape of their hips, and you can see, I want to close my eyes and turn away, because I feel like it's blinding me. Amen? But don't. Don't dress up like that, because the world dresses up like that. If those are the only clothes you have, then that's fine. If that's what you can afford, then that's fine. But sometimes we're trying so hard to look like something that we're not. That's practical section of Romans, right? So it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Now, how does this outer appearance change? How does a person, when they get saved, how does the manifestation of the outward appearance all of a sudden change? The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, right? Behold, all things are passed away. All things are become new. When I was in the sixth grade, one of the... You probably can't imagine it now. Sister Fran, I had an earring. And my mom was in Saudi Arabia at that time. But the cool thing for the elementary kids was for the boys to have an earring. So before she left, I said, "Mom, I want to get an earring." So I went to. She took me to that. It's a ladies' jewelry store, and they do it for free. And so, you know, I got my ear pinched right here. I wore my earring, whether it be a stud or a full-on ring. I just wanted to look cool, you know, because I thought it was a cool thing. And little did I know that it was a sign for guys. It was actually a symbol of slavery for guys. But no, I walked around with that because it was the in thing. And it was the in thing. Steven Seagal was one of the famous actors back then during my time. And what did Steven Seagal have? A long hair. Shaved on the side and a long hair. And so that's what I had. I had my earring here and I shaved my head and I grew my hair with a ponytail with my baggy pants. Right? So I was like this confused personality, right? Trying to look like a hip-hop gangster and a Steven Seagal at the same time and an earring. So just really confused. So I tell you, when I see teenagers and younger people, even older people that are doing that, I don't hate them. I don't. Us Christians, you know, it actually makes me smile because I remember going through that stage, right? As Christians, somebody asked me before about like why do you. Are we like that? Do we hate people so much when it comes to this? So no, we don't hate people. I preach hard against sin, right? I preach hard against sinful living. But when it comes to dealing with people, you love them. You accept them. You love them. You show them the Word of God, and you get them saved, right? The worst thing that you can do to somebody who's living in the alternative lifestyle, for example, the worst thing that you can do is to condemn them, right? But if you accept them and you show them the love of Christ, and let me continue with the verse now. Here's how the change happens. You cannot change people from behind the pulpit. You cannot change people's outward appearance from behind the pulpit. From hard preaching. Here's how a change happens. Look at verse 2 now. Continuing on verse 2. Be not conformed to this world. Everybody understand what that means? But be ye transformed. Right? To be transformed is to be conforming to the image of God. How does that happen? By the renewing of your mind. Repentance. He says, by the renewing of your mind, a person will change from the inside and out. Not outside and in. Notice what it says, by the renewing of your mind. They need to be changed from the inside first. And whatever change happens in the inside will manifest on the outside. Amen? So you allow the Holy Spirit of God, you allow the Word of God to speak to that person's heart, you spend time with them and teach them the Bible, teach them the mind of Christ, and that will in turn have the outward manifestation. Not from outward to the in, to inward, but inward to outward type of a change. And I tell you, that is the kind of change that is effective and is and lasts longer. Okay? Yeah, I often say that it's easy to preach against standards or about standards and set a set standard in the church. And it's easy for church members to conform to the standards that the pastor decides to set. But the problem with that is when they step outside of the church, and they are on their own and the inward change hasn't occurred yet. What happens? Pastor said don't wear this. Pastor said don't wear that. Therefore, I will not wear it when I'm in church. But guess what? When I'm outside, I get to wear whatever I want. Right? And that's exactly what happens. And what you have is you're raising up a generation of confused Christians. Not only confused Christians, but deceitful Christians who try to show you in the church that they are this based on their outward appearance when they're in church, but on the outside, right? It's the exact opposite. Oh no, the Bible's prescription is change the person from the inside. The renewing of your mind is necessary. Psalms chapter 51 verse 10 says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Having a clean heart. Having a renewed right spirit within me. The outward could look spiritual, but the heart could still be darkened. Right? Ephesians 4:23 says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Colossians 3:10, he says, put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. You know, one of the good things about being a Christian is that when God has renewed your mind, has renewed your spirit, and in essence renewed your mind, let me give you a couple of things that is renewed in you as a Christian. Number one, here's a couple of things that is renewed in you as a Christian. Once you have the right spirit and once you have the right heart in you, here's a couple of things that are renewed. Psalms 103, verse 5. Your youth is renewed like the angels, like the eagles, it says. Psalms 103, verse 5, the Bible says, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Isaiah 4:31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. The beauty of being a Christian is that your strength is renewed day by day. Amen. Your youth is renewed day by day. And I see that here in our church. Amen. Regardless of how old you are. Sister Jackie turned 58 last week, and yet she roams around the building like she's a teenager. You know? That just joyful, never getting tired, never, you know what that is? Because of the renewed spirit and the renewed clean heart. One of the benefits of being a Christian is though life becomes difficult, by the next day, God gives you a new day. It's always a new day. Amen? Your strength is renewed according to Isaiah chapter 41 verse 1. He says, keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. I'm convinced that the key to living a good life, a long and healthy life, is having the right spirit in you. Amen? Having the right spirit in you. Lamentations chapter 5, verse 21 says, turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. Renew our days as of old. 2 Corinthians, let me close with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. I don't think I'll finish this today. 2 Corinthians 4, 16. For which cause? Chapter 4, verse 16. For which cause we faint not. But notice, in closing, though our outward man, right? Notice, because though our outward man perisheth, or perish, what happens to the inward man? Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Amen? That's the blessing of being a Christian. I tell you, in closing, when, Sunday after Sunday, my work schedule changes every 2 months. And come July, in July, I'm going to be working on weekends again. I'll be working Saturday night, and I'll be coming from Saturday night and come to church to preach and then go back to work Sunday night, it gets pretty exhausting. But I've been doing that since the beginning of this year. And so far, it's now June, and I made it this far. How is that possible? Because the Bible says that when you are a Christian, your strength is renewed day by day. The body may be falling, may be failing, but the inward man is renewed day after day. That's the blessing of being a Christian.
Amen.
We'll continue this verse next Sunday.
Amen.
Amen. But if you're not saved today, this life is very difficult to go through. The society is getting worse and worse. Like our preacher, Brother Giroux, preached last Sunday. This world, the society is getting worse and worse. Men are waxing cold, with having itching ears and not able to endure sound doctrine. If you are not saved today, this world will become very difficult for you. But if you are saved today, we have a hope.
Amen.
We have a joy. We have the fellowship, the fun, the potlucks. Amen. And we're able to look at we have a positive perspective. There should be nothing in this world that should be able to separate us from the love of God. No matter how heavy it gets, how difficult it gets, how hard life gets, God's promise is that our strength will be renewed day after day. Don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Every head bow, every eye closed. Israel will play a couple of verses. Maybe you've been feeling tired and exhausted. I pray that God will give you strength. That God will renew your strength. Maybe you've been feeling discouraged and you feel like, I don't have time for this. I don't have the energy for this. The psalmist said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. If you have the joy of the Lord in you, He'll give you strength. If you need to come for whatever reason, the altar is open. Turn to hymn number 385 as we close. 385. Sing verse 1.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. Verse 2, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back, no turning back. Verse 4, decide.